Savitri, Book 7, The Book of Yoga, Canto 2, The Parable of the Search for the Soul. Last time, in the second part of Canto 2, when Savitri moved on in her search for her soul, she saw the uncontrolled automatic activities of man's mind when the soul remains secret and hidden behind man's outer nature. Then she saw what could happen when the lower forces, which reside in man's lower nature, rise up and take over his life. Now, Savitri is going to see how man's own past impulses from the natural, original, unchanged self of a person who is not guided or influenced by the soul return again and again, even after they have been controlled or rejected again and again. But then, Savitri sees higher things. She sees the greatnesses which are also hidden in our unseen parts. And she sees the influence of our secret soul acting on man from its hidden chamber. She sees how man grows until he transcends his earthly self and stands newborn in the largeness of his soul. A vast subliminal is man's measureless part. The dim subconscient is his cavern base. Abolished vainly in the walks of time, our past lives still in our unconscious selves, and by the weight of its hidden influences is shaped our future self-discovery. Thus, all is an inevitable chain, and yet a series seems of accidents. The unremembering hours repeat the old acts. Our dead past round our future's ankles clings and drags back the new nature's glorious stride. Or, from its buried corpse, old ghosts arise. Old thoughts, old longings, dead passions live again, recur in sleep, or move the waking man to words that force the barrier of the lips, to deeds that suddenly start and o'erleap his head of reason and his guardian will. An old self lurks in the new self we are. Hardly we escape from what we once had been. In the dim gleam of habit's passages, in the subconscious darkling corridors, all things are carried by the porter nerves, and nothing checked by the subterranean mind. Unstudied by the guardians of the doors, and passed by a blind instinctive memory, the old gang dismissed, old cancelled passports serve. Nothing is wholly dead that once had lived. In the dim tunnels of the world's being, and in ours, the old rejected nature still survives. The corpses of its slain thoughts raise their heads and visit mind's nocturnal walks in sleep. Its stifled impulses breathe and move and rise. All keeps a phantom immortality. Irresistible are nature's sequences. The seeds of sins renounced sprout from hid soil. The evil cast from our hearts, once more we face. Our dead selves come to slay our living soul. A portion of us lives in present time. A secret mass in dim inconscience gropes. Out of the inconscient and subliminal arisen, we live in mind's uncertain light and strive to know and master a dubious world whose purpose and meaning are hidden from our sight. Above us dwells a superconscient God hidden in the mystery of his own light. Around us is a vast of ignorance lit by the uncertain ray of human mind. Below us sleeps the inconscient, dark and mute. But this is only matter's first self-view, a scale and series in the ignorance. This is not all we are, or all our world. Our greater self of knowledge waits for us, a supreme light, in the truth-conscious vast. It sees from summits beyond thinking mind, It moves in a splendid air, transcending life. It shall descend and make earth's life divine. Truth made the world, not a blind nature force. For here are not our large diviner heights. Our summits in the superconscious blaze are glorious with the very face of God. There is our aspect of eternity. There is the figure of the God we are. His young, unaging look on deathless things. His joy in our escape from death and time. His immortality and light and bliss. Our larger being sits behind cryptic walls. There are greatnesses hidden in our unseen parts that wait their hour to step into life's front. We feel an aid from deep indwelling gods. One speaks within. Light comes to us from above. Our soul, from its mysterious chamber, acts. Its influence pressing on our heart and mind pushes them to exceed their mortal selves. It seeks for good and beauty and for God. We see beyond self's walls our limitless self. We gaze through our world's glass at half-seen vasts. We hunt for truth behind apparent things. Our inner mind dwells in a larger light. Its brightness looks at us through hidden doors. Our members luminous grow, and wisdom's face appears in the doorway of the mystic ward. When she enters into our house of outward sense, then we look up and see above her sun. A mighty life self, with its inner powers, supports the dwarfish modicum we call life. It can graft upon our crawl two puissant wings. Our body's subtle self is throned within in a viewless palace of veridical dreams that are bright shadows of the thoughts of God. In the prone, obscure beginnings of the race, the human grew in the bowed ape-like man. He stood erect, a godlike form and force, and his soul's thoughts looked out from earth-born eyes. Man stood erect. He wore the thinker's brow. He looked at heaven and saw his comrade stars. A vision came of beauty and greater birth slowly emerging from the heart's chapel of light and moved in a white, lucent air of dreams. He saw his being's unrealized vastnesses. He aspired and housed the nascent demigod. Out of the dim recesses of the self, the occult seeker into the open came. He heard the far and touched the intangible. He gazed into the future and the unseen. He used the powers earth instruments cannot use, a pastime made of the impossible. He caught up fragments of the omniscience thought. He scattered formulas of omnipotence. Thus, man, in his little house made of earth's dust, grew towards an unseen heaven of thought and dream, looking into the vast vistas of his mind on a small globe, dotting infinity. At last, climbing a long and narrow stair, he stood alone on the high roof of things and saw the light of a spiritual sun. Aspiring, he transcends his earthly self. He stands in the largeness of his soul, newborn, redeemed from encirclement by mortal things, and moves in a pure, free, spiritual realm as in the rare breath of a stratosphere. A last end of far lines of divinity, he mounts by a frail thread to his high source. He reaches his fount of immortality. He calls the Godhead into his mortal life. All this the spirit concealed had done in her. A portion of the mighty mother came into her as into its own human part. Amid the cosmic workings of the gods, it marked her the center of a wide-drawn scheme, dreamed in the passion of her far-seeing spirit to mold humanity into God's own shape and lead this great, blind, struggling world to light, or a new world discover or create. Earth must transform herself and equal heaven, or heaven descend into earth's mortal state. But for such vast spiritual change to be, out of the mystic cavern in man's heart, the heavenly psyche must put off her veil and step into common nature's crowded rooms, and stand uncovered in that nature's front, and rule its thought, and fill the body and life. Obedient to a high command she sat. Time, life, and death were passing incidents, obstructing with their transient view her sight that must break through and liberate the God imprisoned in the visionless mortal man. The inferior nature, born into ignorance, still took too large a place. It veiled herself and must be pushed aside to find her soul.